You are listening to the Aligned and Alive podcast with Chrissy May, where we discuss the various aspects of spirituality and wellness. A place where you can find guidance and a space to explore your life's meaning and purpose, allowing you to become connected, aligned, and feeling fully alive.
Welcome back, all you beautiful souls, to another episode of Aligned and Alive. I'm your host, Chrissy May, and today we have something very special. If you heard the last two episodes, then you are already introduced to the lovely Hannah Hammond, who is an entrepreneur extraordinaire. She is commercial and residential real estate. She's worked and owned several different companies throughout Arizona, real estate investor, private money lender. There is nothing Hannah cannot do. When she sets her mind to it, it is a for sure success. And so when she shared with me her passion now for launching a podcast in the near future, I thought, this is a really good opportunity for Hannah to become the host for an episode. And she's so well-spoken and she's so great. So I'm just going to pass the mic and let Hannah take over.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity and for all the kind words. I think you speak too highly of me, but I'm just trying to follow your footsteps and you're absolutely incredible. So I'm super excited to get to know you more. I know we've deep dived on me a little bit and you just interview people all the time and learn their stories. But from our conversations and from our lunch, you know, you've shared a little bit about what you do in the health and wellness space, and you are just an absolute vibrant ray of light. And I can tell, and I'm sure speaking for everyone else, we can just tell you're so, you know, healthy internally, inside and out. And would love to learn a little bit about how you've, you know, the journey that you took to get there, because I'm sure it wasn't always like that from day one. It was probably a practice and a learning. Mm-hmm. And then what you do to help others get there as well.
Mm, thank you, by the way. You're so sweet. My journey began very young age. So how the whole health and wellness and fitness thing came about, I was always active as a child. Like I always was in every sport possible. So that naturally already positions you immediately into taking care of yourself. You know, I mean, you have to if you want to excel at an elite level. And when I started competing in figure skating, I saw all the big Olympic champions. You know, I mean, back during the day, they were on like the Wheaties box, right? So I remember thinking, Christy Yamaguchi was the 1992 Olympic gold medalist. And when she was put on the Wheaties box or whatever, Special K or something, I'm like, if I eat enough of that, I'm going to be just like Christy Yamaguchi, right? So like, I just started mirroring the champions I wanted to become like. And so yeah, I would follow either their workout routines or what they ate for their nutrition. So that's kind of how it all started, was just looking at everybody that I wanted to model and modify and become like. And I mean, I had to get special permission. At 15, I wanted to start weightlifting. And my coaches were like, no way, you're too young. You're going to stunt your growth. You haven't even developed yet. And I'm like, no, Christy Yamaguchi weightlifts. I've seen that. Awesome. So that's kind of how it started. And I just, gratefully, I also have a mom who is heavily into holistic healthcare. And I say gratefully because she is the one who really became the big catalyst to me diving deeper into health and wellness, because I saw early on how it worked in my own body. So when she would give me like herbs and supplements as opposed to just like Advil or what, you know, Tylenol, I'm like, she's onto something. My mom's, you know, pretty smart in that department. So that's really how it all began, was just my lifestyle as a young teenager heavily involved in competitive sports.
That's so awesome. And yeah. I didn't know that you wanted to be a weightlifter. That's super cool.
I actually competed. So wow. I started after figure skating. I retired in 1999 and I relocated to Arizona to go to school to get my degree. And of course, I just got, unlike you, Hannah, I did not say no and have, you know, my blinders on. I actually was going to school and then going out in the Scottsdale scene, which you missed nothing of. And it was just one of those moments where I'm like, this is it. I'm just going to go learn, get a degree and party on the weekends. It just felt so unsatisfying for me, especially coming from competitive sport. And so I was watching ESPN one night and I saw Fitness America pageant, and these girls were jumping around doing gymnastics, and then they would, you know, model their bikinis in their 10-inch platform heels, you know, doing turns and stuff. And I thought, what a great outlet for me. Now I have something to really, you know, work towards. And that's the transition from competitive figure skating into, that's how I got into fitness modeling, was competing for Fitness America. So that was my next competitive, it fed my little competitive bug again. And I was able to focus on, once again, my nutrition, working out, staying healthy. And that lasted for about 5 years or so. And then I just totally self-sabotaged, like out of nowhere. And I talked about it on the episode with Brianne when I was put in the hot seat for questioning on Next Levels and not being able to, I believe I didn't have the emotional capacity to really blaze through those, that next level of growth. And so instead of blazing through it, I just stifled and I self-abandoned myself, which I believe goes hand in hand with self-worth.
And what did that look like? Self-abandonment? What does that look like for you?
So when you said it probably always wasn't like that. Mm-hmm. So you're right. Like I had a very long life of health, fitness, wellness, really taking care of myself. And then around that time when I started getting all these fitness magazine covers, I was writing for a lot of magazines. I was doing red carpet premieres in Chicago, LA, and doing some TV shows here locally in Phoenix. Like, so all the success started bubbling and growing. And then I'm like, oh, I think I'm going to start eating poorly. Mm-hmm. Oh, I think I'll start drinking on the weekends again. Oh, I think I'll do this, right? So like all those things that were not nurturing my growth in that business, specifically in the fitness industry, I went the other direction. It was a really hard time. And so that's when my spiritual journey really began. Like, what is it at the core that I'm ignoring, that I'm clearly numbing myself in every other way to not allow success to come into my existence on such a high level?
I love that. And it's so true. I think for so many people that we really have to hit rock bottom to be able to grow to new heights and learn, you know, not stop just going through the motions and living, you know, unconsciously really, and become who we really are. So you were having all the success, you grew up in the health and wellness and fitness space, and then self-sabotage kind of reversed the other direction. And I think a lot of people are afraid of success subconsciously and what that entails and what that brings. And it's such a high level of expectations all the time, right? But for whatever reason, you went there. And then what brought you, how did you get out of that?
I think enough pain. I think we all hit that threshold of what, when we're enough's enough kind of thing. And I got to a point to where I just realized if this doesn't change, nothing changes. And what kind of life do you really want to live? Because you've already shown you're capable of excellence. You're capable of really big things. And so I just went to work on myself. I mean, it really became this journey of becoming all over again, because it requires a different version of you to really level up, right? You have to shed an old way of being in order to allow that next level of growth to, you know, to align. And for me, that looked like I worked a lot with spiritual counselors. So I went into that direction big time, which is why I now facilitate and host women's wellness retreats. So I got involved in every part of spiritual modalities and healing you could imagine before breathwork was really big, before it was popular. I was doing breath work. I was doing meditations. I was doing any form of emotional regulation I could figure out on how to heal myself from the inside out. So I was really committed to the inner work at such a young age. And then it was just by navigating life in general. Like you mentioned in one of our episodes, I believe it was episode 105, the first one that we did together, about choosing partners and the importance of that. This is something I learned later in my years. Had I learned that at your young age, I would have saved myself a whole lot of pain and suffering. But it's something that also goes hand in hand with self-love and self-worth and what we think we are worthy of. I know what I'm worthy of, right? So that my standard is completely different than my standard that was 5-10 years ago. And so really it's just this weaving, this journey that I've been on of rediscovering myself. And I've learned so much about myself and every part of me and what triggers me and what areas I've self-abandoned and why. Like it's truly been a journey with it. And one that I finally can say with full, you know, like it's freedom. There's nothing better in the world than just to have this freedom in the way I view life, the willingness to walk away from anything that isn't serving me with conviction and clarity now, which I never had before.
That I mean, what you just said there is the most truthful thing I've ever heard. And I went through the same thing in my relationships, especially, you know, from 21 years old, fresh out of college, and the people I attracted were just a reflection of who I was, you know? Mm. And I think that happens is like, oh, how come I end up dating the same person or going through the same thing? And that's just a reflection of your self-worth and your standards and how you'll be treated. And I went through a lot of relationships where like, clearly I have a lot of inner work to do that I'm continuing to attract this type of person. And once you do that work and you feel so whole, then that's what we talked about in the last episode. Then all the right people just start coming your way. And if they're not, you're so happy being alone. You know, I used to be very codependent myself. Mm-hmm. And it's so nice to have the freedom to just know who you are and to be okay with your own company. And then you know when the right person or people or business or opportunity comes your way, it just fits and it feels so right. Mm. And you have the standard to do it.
It's so true. And you start embodying this whole practice as just, it's who you are now. Like there's just, you don't have to push anything anymore. It just, you've become it now. And I think that's the biggest part of it. Before, when I was early on in my years of, you know, my spiritual practices, it just, I would just go and do it. And then now I've allowed them to actually work through me, which is a totally different experience. And I think just having a level of curiosity constantly, like I want to learn more. I want to do more. I want to be around people who elevate me and make me grow. I mean, truly, like it's required that to be in their circle, I need to show up at a way different capacity. And before, I was typically the one in circles that was the most accelerated. And I've realized as I've gotten older, it's getting super uncomfortable going after the very thing you're avoiding, because that's what you need to do is go after that. The very thing you're avoiding is where the answer lies. And I learned that. And that's just constantly what I'm doing now. So it's just a way different. It's just different. It's a different way of navigating life. But by doing so, like I think I said this on a previous episode, my life has shifted more in the past 3 months than it has in the last 10 years. So it's, yeah, it's great. It's such a fun, space to be in.
10X really year, right?
10X year. Yeah. And it's learning those things that you think you hear, like so many people even like listening to this podcast are like, oh yeah, I've heard this before. Like we all have, right? But learning and implementing are two different things. And that's really what I'm focusing on is just getting out of my own way and just going through those channels that I've avoided for so long. Yeah. And what you end up with is a whole different experience of life all around, personally and professionally.
So true.
Yeah.
And so for people who are new, like myself, to the realm of spirituality and all of those things, what would you say is the first step that they could take or what direction to go in to start? You know, is it a book? Is it reaching out to a specific type of coach or counselor? Like you mentioned, I didn't know there was spiritual coaches, you know? So what does that look like? What would you recommend to start diving more into that?
Great question. So I love this because now I can help people speed it up.
Yeah.
You know, mine took 20 years, so this one doesn't have to take as long. When I first came here, when I first arrived from Illinois, I started working with a spiritual counselor. I didn't realize they existed either, but I love, because I've always been fascinated, and I grew up in a Christian family. I mean, I was raised in private schools my entire life. I went to Sunday school. My mom was a Sunday school teacher. So we were heavily in, you know, the Catholic school system. And then my mom saw us like falling asleep in the pews and she's like, I need to bring my kids somewhere else. So we went into the non-denominational church, which is just fun and worship and all this, you know, praising. And so I got heavily involved in the church in that direction. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I still wanted someone who was had a belief in God that I'd work with and not just this like guru that believed in the cosmos of, you know what I'm getting at? Like it was important for me to have somebody who recognized God and recognized like, I believe in angels. I believe in all of that. So she did. Her name was Helena and she became my first spiritual counselor slash intuitive. She was highly intuitive. And I just felt this deep connection of guidance. That's the best way I can describe it. Cause so she was so far beyond, like, you know, she was 40 years older than me and she was able to pour into me so much wisdom and guidance that I needed on how to navigate this world, if you will, like for instance, this reality, this three-dimensional reality that we see and view it with a different lens. And not just your standardized counseling sessions, which just a lot of it's jargon, in my opinion. A lot of just like standardized counseling. Not all, because there's a lot of amazing, amazing counselors out there. And I have worked, I'm working with one actually right now. But as a whole, it's just like the standardized stuff. She actually brings you through like life experiences with a different way of looking at it. And I'm trying to describe the best way I can describe how it was, the process for me. But she was my guide. And having that person, that one-on-one mentor, really set the bar for me on how to go about my journey, because she had done it for, you know, 50 years or something. And so I think that would be the first place I would guide people. Yes, books and all that are great. I mean, and I just wrote one that's coming out May 15th. So don't miss it. Aligned and Alive, Your Guide to Clarity, Self-Love, and Living with Purpose by yours truly. And so, yeah, I wrote a book on it. So you can, that's a great way to take in, you know, that information. But where the real magic happens is also with working and having that connection one-on-one with somebody, and then couple that with wellness retreats. You know, finding one, whether it's mine, it doesn't matter, or someone else's, just make sure they're high integrity. Make sure you really meet with the person and you can experience their energy, because you're going to be allowing somebody to work with you on your trauma, past traumas, any wounds that you're experiencing. So you want to make sure it's somebody who's highly educated in that area and that can hold space for you accordingly. As in any industry, there are a lot of people that are non-integrous and are only in it for the money, and they're not in it for a level of service that they can provide. So those would be three things I would focus on. You know, yes, great literature is always as a great place to start, but getting connected, because so much of spirituality is just that. It's working with energy. And by having that opportunity to work with someone one-on-one, you can move through a lot of things on a physical level specifically.
That's awesome. And the power of coaching is absolutely unreal.
Yeah,
and
just, yeah. Yeah. As you just were going to say, yeah, just as you have like a mindset coach, or you're now working mm-hmm. with an energetic coach. Is that what he?
Yeah. Energetic coach, which he's technically, I was referred to him as a business coach, but you know, a few weeks in, I'm like, you haven't mentioned anything about business. He's like, well, yeah, because business is from the inside out.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. So that's the foundation for everything. As we talked about prior, it's all within. Like everything stems from within. How you're going to show up with more confidence and in your personal life and in business. How does that start? It starts from within. And I don't think people really let that sit long enough to really take that in and feel that. Everybody wants a quick fix. Everybody wants to avoid the discomfort of having to do the inner work, the tough work. But once you go through that process, you're untouchable. You really are. I mean, life becomes your own true playground to where nobody can stop you, because you're so solid in the inside. Like, that's what it is. I mean, it's all internal. And once you master that, lights out.
Lights out, boys.
Lights out. Like, it really is. Like, yeah. It's, and you feel it when you're around women and men who embody that. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt it around a few of my friends recently, where I was just, you can feel the shift in their energy. It's hard to describe unless you understand energy, which you do.
Yeah.
Like, you pick up on that. Like, you made that comment about how people feel. You know it. Your nervous system feels it, and how you feel around certain people. And so if there's one thing people could do to become a magnet for the life they really desire, it's to go all in on themselves and really do that inner work. And your life will shift overnight almost. I mean, you start opening up to possibilities and opportunities like you never even dreamed of.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Nothing, there's nothing like it. And it's so hard to explain. It's so hard to understand until you're like, oh, this is what this is. But to go down that journey and to just start, you know, hire a coach and go down the path of surrounding yourself with people that can help you find that, learn about it, and hopefully feel it and live with integrity in that space. It's just, it's life changing. And it breaks my heart to know that there's going to be people, and a lot of them, who go through life not knowing what that feels like and being connected on that level.
Oh, it pains my heart. And that's why this work is so important for me, because I want everyone to experience that sense of freedom and joy and truly understand that life is a gift. Like every time I kid you not, every time I wake up in the morning, the first thing that comes out of my mouth or that enters my mind is thank you, God, for another day of life. I say that every single day. I love it. And then I'll, you know, get out of bed and I'm like, let's go. Like, what are we creating today? Like, this is our canvas for today. Let's create a masterpiece for today. What does that look like for you? And knowing, because we are so blessed. And if you're in a situation right now where things aren't going your way, know that you can shift that. You really can. I believe that. Just as you did, how you shared that you believe everybody can. I believe that same thing. You've proven that from your childhood to where you've ate, what you've been able to create right now. Like, you're the perfect example. And I'm an example of that too, because I know, I mean, anybody who's known me at all at a younger Chrissy, you know, my early 20s or whatever, I'm completely different. I'm not even the same person. I'm the same personality in many aspects, right? But I've been able to release a lot of that which was holding me back. And that doesn't happen by, you know, pressing a button and there you go. You know, you have to be intentional about what you want to accomplish in life. And that comes down to, you know, who you are on the inside. It comes down to who you decide to allow in your space, as we've mentioned. What kind of people do you want to put yourself around? What do you allow your eyes to see? Are you watching garbage on TV? What you allow your ears to hear? What are you listening to day in, day out? I'm so hyper intentional. I do not allow garbage in my ear. And that's how a lot of my growth happened, becoming so hyper intentional on that.
That's so true. We subconsciously, all of that drives us every single day. And it goes into our thoughts and our dreams and our actions and everything. So I'm the same way, you know, being so hyper intentional about who I'm around and what goes into any of my senses. And also such a different person. I know now on the last episode, I'm like, you can do it. Anything is possible and life is amazing. And, you know, old Hannah was like, my first essay I wrote and submitted in my class was called The Mediocrity of the American Dream. And my teacher was like, do you need help? I'm like, probably. But yeah, it's crazy, such a shift night and day of how you can change and evolve as a person.
It really is. It's available to everybody. It is. So get connected, get in a group, get into a, and not just a group of like-minded, you know, we hear that all the time, but truly like-hearted. Like, who are they at the core? You know, their character, integrity, all these things we talk about that are these traits that are so important.
So where did entrepreneurship come in? Because you were competing and doing this and that. So when were you born just naturally entrepreneurial, or was there a shift that made you get into the space of starting your own wellness center and starting to do retreats?
I think a little bit of both, because I had jobs when I was younger. I mean, I had to almost get special approval because I wanted to start work so early. I wanted to work at 15. There was a hair salon down the street from my house growing up, and I wanted to be like the receptionist and shampoo their hair because I knew the girls got tips so well. Like, you know, and I did. And so I entered, obviously, as that. Entrepreneurial has always been in me because I've always been creative, and I always have had a sense of the possibility of anything is possible, to the point where I would be made fun of, like, oh, look at Chrissy, she's dreaming big again. I mean, I was told that at a very young age, and not necessarily from a sense of trying to be rude. I don't think people meant it really, but they didn't quite understand. Like, I was the only one in my family who knew for sure I did not want to work for someone else. I did not want someone dictating when I could go on vacation, when I couldn't, the cap and how much I could earn, like all of that. I mean, I was raised in the Midwest in Illinois. And so being an entrepreneur early on, I was the outcast. I got made fun of all the time. Why aren't you taking a corporate job? Why aren't you getting your 401k? Like the standardized stuff. And I had to go to bat for myself all the time. And I would combat and say, well, guess what? That $50,000 a year job that you have, that's all you can make. Good luck with that. And that 9-to-5 schedule you have Monday through Friday, good luck with that. I'm actually flying to Miami right now. And I'm doing, at the time, for instance, I was doing a fitness expo. So I was the girl in like the weeder t-shirt, you know, like handing out stuff. But I got paid really good money. They paid for my flight, paid for my hotel. And I was living the life in my 20s, I felt, because I had freedom while everybody else was just grinding away at their boring jobs. So I knew instinctively what I wanted at a very young age. And after I graduated from college here in Arizona, The only reason I went to work for somebody right away was just because I wanted to understand their business model. So it was really educational mm-hmm. purposes, but I already knew I wanted to start my own company. So I was only there for maybe 4 months. And then I took that piece of guidance and I implemented it in my own business. So I started my own company at 23.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And it is true. Corporate America can be a great place to get paid for education and learning. And, you know, sometimes it's a good step to take if you're looking to get into entrepreneurship, but you have no idea how to run this kind of business, and go work in it, in the type of business that you'd like to run.
It's so true. And it was so different. It was a different time too. We didn't have Instagram. We didn't have these social media platforms that we have right now. And so literally all you had was networking circles. That's it. You know, we didn't even have Facebook then. This was in 2002. So 2002, I think there was MySpace. You were not around for this, Hannah, but there was a thing called MySpace.
I was around. Yeah, barely. But yeah.
I mean, I don't know. MySpace came in maybe at 2006 or seven. However, 2002 is when I started my own company and my own business. And there was nothing. Like literally we were advertising in the newspaper, the local paper. Jeez. I'll never forget when because I was trying to get in front of all like the affluent people. You kind of spoke about your friend who lived in Paradise Valley off of Camelback Mountain mm-hmm. or something like that. So the guy that I was dating at the time, who's now a very good friend of mine, it's kind of funny, his family lived in Paradise Valley. And I thought, hey, how do I get into this newspaper? Because then I'm going to get in front of all these people. So they did a huge story on me and how I was going to Nationals for Fitness America and how I was going to be in this magazine. Wow. So I just went to the local newspaper in an affluent area and had them do a huge story on me. From that little clip in that feature in that newspaper, I ended up getting like 3 clients that were in-home clients in Paradise Valley. So I was doing personal training and nutrition for them. And I had 3 major clients from that alone. So that's the kind of stuff we were working with, right? It wasn't yeah. just like put up this cool reel on Instagram and you're going to get all these people inquiring. We didn't have that luxury.
That's so awesome to hear. Yeah. And that journey and how you, and but now we have social media and all that stuff, but there's still so many barriers because now there's like an overload of content and information yeah. and right. So setting yourself apart. And I love the quote, to be the top 1%, you have to do what 99% don't do or won't do. And just setting yourself apart and, you know, putting things in place and implementing them to achieve what you want to achieve. So I love that you just went for it and went to the paper and made it happen.
Well, what's the worst they could say? No.
Right.
And that's one thing I've learned in life is that if you don't ask, the answer is always no. And so ask.
Yeah, exactly. So segueing from you became an entrepreneur, you started your business, you went down that journey. We were talking about it and it's come up a lot of people pleasing. And when we're in the service business and a lot of drive or success or anything like that came from the urgent, incessant desire to please others for my own self-worth and acceptance and, you know, found my self-worth in the approval of others, right? So as you get into entrepreneurship and you're in a service-based business and you're serving clients and serving others, how do you balance or identify people pleasing versus providing excellent service and getting good reviews and having a great business and continuing to grow that, knowing when you're doing which and how to set boundaries, say no, and serve, but not just please everybody like we've kind of grown to get used to doing for so many years?
Such a good question. I'm thinking of this in several different parts, but for me now, because I am a former people pleaser, it comes down to my standard on what I will allow and accept. And that comes also down to how I feel. So I'm so in tune to myself. And if I'm feeling that I'm giving out of fear or I'm giving out of need or anything of that low vibrational energy, then I know I'm not in alignment with my standard. And so I already know, like there's a 2 separate thing for me. I know what my job looks like. I know the level of standard and excellence that is required to do my job well and to provide a service that is not just average, but exceptional. That's my standard. And that's how I operate with all my businesses. So for instance, my podcast or One Stop Nutrition, a few locations here locally, as I've mentioned to you before, you know, or it's in real estate, working with clients, or the wellness retreats, handling those clients, or one-on-one coaching. I just know my level of standard is excellence. And so that, if that sways in any way, that's different because that's what is expected of me to provide that excellent service, right? If somebody blows up my phone and starts getting demanding on me responding immediately, that's not okay because the former me probably would give up everything to make sure that was handled. And I think you have to be very, you have to understand the difference between that because not everything requires your attention immediately. They're not going to die if you don't get back to them in the first, you know, 30 minutes to an hour. You have to define what does that look like in your level of standard in business. At least for me, that's how I look at it now. And if I'm being pulled in 10 different directions because of just I know I'm not in alignment with what my standard is. And now it becomes, it defaults to people pleasing because now I just want to make sure everyone's okay. They're okay. They're okay. But it's sacrificing my own alignment and my own energetic, like where I'm at. So that I don't, hopefully I explained that okay, but it's just for me now, it's how it comes down to how I feel and what my level of standard is. I mean, that's really where I operate from now because you still have to show up and do great service. That's required if you want to operate a really, really great business, but you don't constantly need to shuffle around and make sure everyone's smiling and happy because that's their job. You've already done your job. Once you've delivered your job, you don't need to keep going and getting reassurance. You know you've done your job well. And then the whole review thing, if you've known you've done your job well, it's just an extension of that. You should have those systems and strategies in place to ask for that review from that customer or client.
Love it. So I think last question to wrap up here, you talk a lot about, we talk a lot about, you know, having purpose and self-love and clarity in your life and everything that you do. So what is some advice that you can give to everybody watching and to myself on how you can figure that out? How do you find what your purpose is and how do you find self-love and practice self-love and have clarity in everything that you do personally and professionally and relationally? Where do you
start?
Yeah.
I think you start with stillness, at least in my experience. Sitting in stillness provides you so much value that is underrated. And very few people can actually do that because we are taught to, you know, live such busy / productive lives and you aren't a success unless you do so. And what I've found is when I've quieted my mind, when I've actually sat in stillness, I'll know that direction and where I need to go in all areas of my life, everywhere. So I need to know where I need to fill my cup to deepen my self-love. I need to know who I need to get around to grow that next relationship personally or professionally. I'll know, I mean, it's just, I am connected to my inner compass. It's my inner guidance system because in stillness we receive, in stillness we hear the answers. And so by that, operating from that space, it just becomes this flow state of being guided. I'm not looking out here for the answer. I'm not looking out here for that next dopamine hit or class or something to give that to me. It's already in me. And when you sit long enough with yourself, it does come up. Like everything comes up for you. Everything you've wanted answers for or what to do or where to go, it's already within. So I feel that it's a hard concept for a lot of people to understand if you've never done it before. Because I know when I first started doing it, I was like, okay, where is it? Where is it to come? Mm-hmm. And then I would find myself seeking outside sources or validation constantly. In that very moment, it was an aha moment for me because I'm like, here you go. You're seeking validation or confirmation from something you already know. So spend more time here, not out here. So I would have to say for everything, the core foundation for all of this, in my opinion, is being able to be comfortable and sitting in stillness and knowing that you know what's best for you. You're the only one that knows what's best for you. It's not outside of us. It's always within us. And if you carry the belief system of believing in a higher power, I believe in God. So I believe God is within us. And it's tapping into that infinite source of wisdom and abundance that provides all. It provides everything.
All of that speaks to me personally so much. And I'm on that journey right now and newer to the meditation practice and the breath work and the spirituality and sitting in stillness and making time for that, right? Because I used to have the mentality that I don't have time to do this. But I interviewed with a good friend of mine, Jamil, who has a very large company. And I asked him at lunch, I was like, what was the catalyst for you on your journey from, you know, being bankrupt in 2000 after 2008 to now having a multi-$100 million company? And he said it was that journey and going within and prioritizing every single day, sitting in stillness and meditating and seeking the answers inside, just everything you just said. And so it is beautiful to see the transformation of, I feel it in myself. It's like being a caterpillar and turning into a butterfly and nobody understands it. It doesn't make any sense. It's not pretty, the transition, but who you become afterwards, you're still there. The caterpillar still became the butterfly, but it's unrecognizable and it's so beautiful. So thank you so much for your time today and for sharing so many good, amazing, amazingness on everything.
Thank you. And you're a natural.
Oh, thank you.
Hannah's podcast is just, I cannot wait for the release of this. Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much. And I love that, just the picture, the vision of the butterfly. Cause I, for a long time, that's exactly how I felt. And it's so messy and it's painful and it's all the things, but when you can just keep continuing to show up and work through that, it's a whole new world awaits for you on the other side of it. So
love it.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much.